Hey, Robin, thank you for coming on and talking to me today.
Oh, hey, Ed. Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I want to start with a little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about what you do today, like what kind of writing you do, what types of clients you write for, just so people can understand, the work you do.
Sure. So my niche is the the defined contribution retirement plan market. And so basically, I write a lot about 401k plans, 403bs, basically retirement savings vehicles. And the kind of clients I work with, it kind of runs the gamut. My sweet spot is retirement services providers. So those would be like the big names like Prudential, Vanguard, Fidelity, those guys. And I write for them sort of through a backdoor channel, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then I have some other clients that I basically do like blog writing for and articles and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what I'm doing today.
And so blogs, articles, what other types of projects have you done already?
Oh, sure. So I've done some white papers. I've done some newsletters. Those are a lot of fun, a quarterly newsletter or something like that. The retirement industry lends itself really well to, periodic updates, and things are always changing in the industry in terms of regulations or different, notices, for example, that like plan sponsors have to send out to their employees. So those things get updated on a consistent basis. And one of the things that happens a lot, there's a lot of repetition and a lot of reminders and a lot of, these people are very busy. They just don't have time to remember all this stuff. So the providers or various, I guess the service providers will put out these periodic reminders, which creates an appetite for a large amount of content and, consistent and repetitive content.
That's good for us, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm assuming that you knew this industry because this doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you just kind of pick, say, oh, I think this would be kind of interesting to write about. So where did you come from? What's your background?
Definitely. So I have 20 years of financial industry experience. I started out in corporate communications. Actually, my first job was with Prudential, and I worked on their, they had an award-winning employee magazine at the time called Prudential Leader, and that's kind of where I got my start in finance. It was not something that I had planned on doing. I went to school for journalism, and I had this sort of half-baked idea that I was going to graduate college and just go to New York and write for the New York Times, and that was going to be my life. And then I got out of school and realized that it doesn't really work that way. My options were I could work for a community newspaper making basically peanuts, or I could get a corporate job. And so it just so happened that I kind of fell into this. I knew somebody and just kind of fell into this role at Prudential. And that's kind of how I got my start in retirement plan marketing as well, because while I was working on that magazine, I met one of my fellow writers who went on in Prudential to be he was like a creative director, a marketing director, and he hired me a couple of years later to be a senior writer in his creative group, and that's kind of how I got into retirement marketing and kind of how I fell again into this niche. And so from there, I mean, that's kind of what I focused on. I've worked for Prudential, I've worked for Transamerica, I've worked for Russell Investments. These are all kind of big names in the retirement services industry. And you're right, it's not a field that people kind of go, that sounds really interesting, I'd love to do that. It's really, it's complicated, and it really has its own language. And unless you've kind of, been immersed in it, it's one of those things that I don't think you could just kind of pick up and start running with.
Yeah. It's I would think it takes a long time to really understand it well. And then the fact that it's changing so much, right? So you have to be committed because you have to stay on top of changes and developments.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, give us I know you're doing your freelance gig as a side hustle. So what are you doing today for your day job, and then how much time are you able to dedicate roughly to your side gig? Like how much of a side gig is it?
You know, it almost kind of feels like I have two full-time jobs. And I should mention I'm a single mom on top of all of this. So
which is a full-time job.
Yeah, so I don't sleep, but so for my day job right now, I'm a marketing and content strategist for an investment website called seekingalpha.com. And I work on their, one of their paid products. And basically my job is to consult with the authors on the platform and help them with their marketing. They're really good investors, but they're not very good at marketing. They don't really understand how it works. They don't understand how to get visibility. They don't understand messaging, any of that. So I guess you could say I've taken a lot of the skills that I've been able to develop over the course of my career. Now I'm able to transfer them and sort of, so I'm basically a full-time consultant for Seeking Alpha and for its authors. So that's what I do in my day job. And then, again, yeah, the freelance thing, it's a side hustle. It's a lot of hustle. And, again, you know, I have two clients right now that I have on monthly retainer. One is a prominent website in the industry, and, I write three articles a week for them, or about 12 articles a month. And so, that comes with a nice little retainer income. And then I actually have another client who is not in my, he's not really in my niche. He's in finance, but, he's more of a, he works for a boutique firm that serves as a consultant to small business owners. And so, I write two articles a month for them and, in support of their email marketing efforts. And basically that those emails go out to their articles and they go out to, the small business owner, you know, kind of on their email list that they have.
Gotcha. Okay. So take me back a little bit to when you first came across a B2B business launcher, a training and coaching program. So where were you in your writing business at that time? Like what kind of challenges were you facing?
So I think, you know, I've obviously been following you for a really long time, and I think I had come across B2B business launcher a couple of times, and I don't recall. I think the first time was probably 3 or 4 years ago, actually. And it was one of those things that I always wanted to do. You know, I've always had this aspiration to be a full-time freelance writer. And I'm in a very great position now. I consider myself very blessed because I have a day job that I love, and I'm actually, I could quit and I could freelance full-time at this point. But I just love it so much. I don't want to give it up. So I'm kind of, you know, just trying to do it all, and we'll see how sustainable that is. But anyway, I digress. So, you know, I think actually you and I had talked the first time that I really seriously considered it was back in 2016. And I don't mind sharing that I was in a tough spot in my life at that time. I think it was in the spring of 2016. And I remember you'd put out an ad about the program. You'd announced that you were opening the doors again. And I emailed you, and I remember I said, you know, well, I'm going through, I'm separated from my husband. I'm going through this divorce. I've just, you know, become a single mom again. And, you know, I want to do it, but I'm not sure that this is a great time in my life to do it. And you were very honest and open with me. And you said, you know, you have to kind of search your heart, but I'd be inclined to agree with you. And, you know, we had a good back and forth about it. And so, you know, I took your advice and I decided to table it. And then when the opportunity came up again, in the spring of 2017, I was just ready. I had set aside the money. Oh, that was the other thing too. I think the first time we talked, I was going to put it on a credit card, and I was just going to, you know, pay it off as time went on. And you very wisely advised me not to put myself into debt, which again was great advice. And so, you know, again, when the opportunity came up in spring of 2017, I had the money ready to go. I was in the right mindset, and all the pieces just kind of fell into place. And that was the perfect time. And, you know, it's just one of those things, whether it's divine timing or, you know, kind of whatever you believe in, but that was just the right time.
Yeah. And when the right time hits, you just know it, right? That's, yeah. Everything just kind of checks. Although I will say, you know, there are, sometimes it's tough because it feels like the right time, but some things aren't quite perfect. And I think mm-hmm. there's a difference, right? Not every aspect of your life or your business will be perfect ever, for at least for very long. So it's, but yeah, I remember, I think I do remember corresponding with you. And, you know, that's frankly just kind of a standard answer that we give people. My team knows, look, if all these things are happening to someone, but they still want to enroll, just tell them not to, because like the anxiety that creates is not going to help you do your best work. And, mm-hmm. and that's not what we want everyone to succeed. And we know that that just puts even more obstacles in your way. So I'm glad you waited. And so when you enrolled, did you already have some clients? Like, what was your business like? I mean, how much, you know, were you generating, if you don't mind sharing some of that?
Oh, no, sure. That's fine. I think I had, I'm trying to remember the timing, but I think I might have had the website client. I started working with him right at the end of May, beginning of June. And I think the program started shortly after that. So that was the only client that I had. And I actually, during the course of the program, I think I picked up, gosh, I want to say 3 or 4 more. And I actually, it's funny, I had to fire two. Wow. 2 out of the 4, because, you know, I found it's funny when you start working with people, and I'm glad I'm in a position where I can be picky about it. And I started working with these two clients, and I just, like, it wasn't a good fit, and it wasn't, they were kind of all over the place. They didn't really know what they wanted. And I just wasn't comfortable, and it just, you know, in your gut when something just doesn't feel right, and it just didn't. And I was very honest with both of them. And I said, you know what? I said, I don't think this is working on either side. And, you know, I think we should just, you know, cut bait and go our separate ways while, you know, before we've exchanged any money, or, you know, before I really started working with you. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things where it was a preliminary, and we were talking about projects, and we were talking about direction, and we were talking about budget, and we were talking about all these things, and it wasn't jiving. It just wasn't working out. So, but that said, you know, I picked up, like I said, I had the one website client, I picked up the other retainer client, and, I've got 2 other ones that I picked up sort of, one was during the course of the program, and the other one was at the tail end of the program. And I'm in negotiations with them for retainers right now as well. So I've really got the best of all possible worlds in terms of work. I think that, you know, a lot of freelance writers would kill to have, you know, all clients on retainer, and I'm headed down that path. So I'm super excited about it. I feel really blessed.
Wow. So let me make sure I understand. When you started, you had the website client. Mm-hmm. During the course of the program, it sounds like, you know, I heard at least 3 clients were able to land, and some of them have turned into retainer clients.
Yes, that's correct.
It's fantastic. I mean, just to, as of this recording, I mean, I think we just finished working together, what, a month or two ago? You know, it's so that's pretty remarkable. That's a lot in a very short period of time. And I should say, just to be fair, that is unusual. That is not typical, but that's fantastic. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks. Yeah. I think one of I'm going to say that the secret with quotes is that I did this one thing, and I mean, there were so many things that I took away from the program that I learned, but I did this one thing, and that is that I went on, you know, we had some lengthy conversations on some of the coaching calls that we had, and you know, just as an aside, those coaching calls, I think, are like worth the cost of the program itself, because you know, just getting the opportunity to you know, speak, you know, you're in a group setting, but you know, you make it feel like it's really one-on-one, right? And you give the person that you're talking to your undivided attention and your unbiased answers, and it's just a really good format to get access to you. And I think that, like I said, I think it's worth the cost of the entire program. If you know, people are on the fence about it, that's the thing. But, you know, I think that, you know, one of the calls, and maybe several of the calls, we talked about LinkedIn and how that is a goldmine for prospecting. And I think, you know, I really took that to heart, and that was the one thing that I did. You know, I went on my LinkedIn profile and I optimized it for my niche and for freelance writing and for all those things. And I added those keywords. I you know, made sure my headline was compelling but also relevant, and you know, added the you know, added all of my skill sets and what I could bring to the table to the kind of summary thing that they have on the top. And I have to tell you, that's really made a world of difference. And that's kind of how people are finding me.
Wow. So those little tweaks, right? And I think it speaks to the fact that you know that market you're going after. You know it well. So, you know, just leveraging what you know, again, it's so important because you know exactly what the terminology is, what people might be searching for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you had done that really great podcast with is it Steve Maurer?
Steve Maurer, yeah.
Yeah, and he talks about all that. And I think that, you know, it was funny when I was listening to that podcast, I was like, check, check, check. You know, I'd done all the things that he recommended. So I think that, you know, that's really spot on. And I wanted to say too, you know, just I guess it's kind of related but off topic, is that I think people think that when they think about prospecting, or when they think about sort of the fundamentals, I'm going to call them, of building a freelance business, that it's like going to take hours of work and it's going to be so hard. And I think, you know, one of the nice things about B2B business launcher is that it gives you baby steps. You know, it kind of, it sets you up for success from the very beginning. You know, the first session is kind of, you know, and hopefully I'm not disclosing too much.
No,
but
no, go for it.
The first session is kind of, you know, figure out your niche, figure out what you want to do, figure out what you're good at. And, you know, I agree with you too. It was funny that, you know, it's mind boggling to me that people, even after going through that exercise, because I think it's such a great way, it's such a pathway, and it's such a roadmap to guide people to what they want to do. And maybe it was easy for me because I already knew kind of coming into the program, but just going through that questionnaire, it just confirmed for me, yes, I'm doing the right thing. Yes, I'm in the right niche. So I think that that's really good. And then, you know, some of the subsequent things, you know, build your website and, you know, think about prospecting and thinking about, you know, how, you know, who are you going to go after and all these different things, I think are just, you know, it's like I said, it's a really good roadmap. And it's just, if you follow all the steps, I think, you know, unless, you know, for some unreason, some unforeseen reason, I just don't see how you could fail, is really the truth. So I think that was invaluable. And I think one of the best things I got out of it, and really honestly, this was the main goal that I wanted to get out of B2B Business Launcher, and I'm happy to say I accomplished it, was getting my website done. That was my chief resistance point forever.
It is for most people, so don't feel bad.
And I think, you know, again, you really broke it down and you simplified it. And, you know, I know people are terrified of, you know, WordPress and the templates or whatever. And I think, like, if you just keep it simple and you just, I sat down and I made myself do it. I just sat down. I think it was over Labor Day weekend. Actually, I was one of the sort of the delinquents that waited until the end of the program, but I really wanted to get your review. So I made sure I got it done. And by the way, that was an impetus as well. But, you know, I sat down and I just made myself do it. And it wasn't hard. I did, you know, once you laid out a very easy template to follow and, you know, the questions to answer. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. And I'm really happy that I have it. It makes it so much easier when you're getting introduced to a client. In particular, at least for me, I mean, I remember I would go back and forth with prospects, and they'd ask for samples, right? And it's so annoying because you have to go on your computer if you don't have a website. It's so annoying because you have to go and get the PDFs and figure out what you're going to send and, you know, all this stuff. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, you want to see some samples? Go to my website. Here you go. And everything's there. And it's just so much easier. So
that's awesome. I know that you're right. It's for a lot of people, that is the one thing that's keeping them up at night, is the whole website thing. So, you know, I'm hearing a few things. It's the, you know, you've landed some great clients, during the program, which is fantastic. Your website is done. That was a huge one. Coaching calls and getting that feedback and mentorship, direct from me, the whole LinkedIn thing. You know, you've really come a long way in a very, very short period of time. I'm curious, you know, what are your plans? Like, what, I know you're having fun in your day job, but, you know, what are you thinking right now?
You know, I think it's, sorry about that. I think it's interesting. I think I'm just going to keep riding the wave, to be honest with you. And I'm honestly at a point right now where if I keep my day job, I'm at capacity. I don't have any more more time or hours in my day, I guess, to take on any work right now. I've got the two retainer clients, two more in the works. That's going to bring me up to four. And, I'm kind of, I work 40 hours a week and I'm kind of filling in the gaps with the freelance and, I may work a lot of hours. I work a lot of evenings, a lot of weekends, that kind of thing. So I think right now, I think I'm just going to ride the wave and, if it gets to a point where, I'm not enjoying my day job as much or, the freelancing just really takes off and I really get to a point where I can't manage both, then I probably will pursue my dream of becoming a full-time freelance writer. That's really what I would love to do.
But it's cool that you have this. I look at it as insurance, right?
Yeah.
So you have your day job, then you have the side gig, and if something were to happen, you're okay. You know you'd make a go of it, and most people don't have that. So I think it's a real blessing to have that safety net.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned insurance. It's funny. I know that, there's a lot of options out there for freelance writers. But one of the best things about having my day job is I do have employer-subsidized health insurance. So
yes, win.
Really do have the best of both worlds. But, I wanted to say, too, that, I think one of the biggest – I guess, one of the biggest leaps to my success, or I guess, the challenge that I've overcome is that it's a change in mindset. I think, and, I said this to Peter earlier too. I said, Peter Bowerman, I said, if you believe that you can do it, you can do it. And I for so long, I don't think that I believed that I could be successful at this. I thought, oh gosh, what if the work doesn't come, or what if I'm not good enough, or all these things that I think we all think inside of our heads when we're thinking about starting a business or trying to go out there and prospect. And the truth of the matter is you just have to believe that you can. You have to believe that you are enough, you can do it, you will be successful, and then you just have to go out there and shine. You have the writing chops. You have the background, you have the expertise, just put it out there and just go out there and do the best you can. And that's really, I think that's really the takeaway and the major shift in mindset that I've had this year.
That's a good segue into my last question. And I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a bit. There are a lot of people who listen to this and they're listening to it for a lot of reasons, but one of the biggest ones is they're on the fence. And they're trying to decide, is this something that I want to do? I'm not going to ask you what you would tell them because that's unfair. You don't know what the other person is like, what they're going through, their circumstances and so forth. But, how would you help them make that decision? Like, what would you tell them the things they should maybe ask themselves to make a good decision in terms of whether to enroll or not?
It's a really good question. I think the biggest question that you have to ask yourself is, how bad do you want it? And I know that sounds like a probably maybe a little bit trite or a little bit, hard to answer when you're on the fence and maybe you're worried about, can I afford this or can I spend the time? And, just as an aside, I did have a kind of a life hiccup come up in the middle of this course. I moved two states. I moved from Washington State to California, and it was a pretty abrupt move. It was not something I was planning on doing this summer necessarily, or actually the timing. I guess I was going to do it later than I thought I was going to do it. So, I guess life happens, things come up, and again, you just have to say, is this that important to me? Is this what I really want to do? And if the answer is yes, just do it. Just take the plunge. It'll be the best decision you ever made. I think it's pushed me. It's pushed my business far beyond what I ever could have dreamed. And just again, the access to you has been absolutely incredible. It's been so valuable. And I think the group too. I wanted to mention that I think that support, that's really one of the keys to succeeding in this whole thing, is just having those people. Everybody's in the same place. I mean, well, we're all in different places, but we're all kind of struggling with very similar things, I think. And I think, you know, just all of us helping each other and cheering each other on. I mean, some of my best memories of that, of the time was in B2B Business Launcher was just, you know, being on Facebook and sharing a win and having everybody kind of rally and be excited. And I just, so I think that, you know, if you really want it, just like I said, go ahead and do it and take the plunge.
Oh, it's worth it. I love it. I think that's sound advice because you're right. It's, you know, the information and mentorship only goes so far. If there's not something inside of you that's going to really drive you through the tough times, the tough days and weeks, then, you know, that's something you cannot outsource that. Nobody else can do that for you, right? So that's got to come from you. So I think that's really good advice.
I wanted to mention one more thing too, if I could, just for the people who are a little bit on the fence. I think another benefit of being in a program like this is that there's a lot of information out there for freelance writers, and it's so much, you know, you can spend so much time spinning your wheels and reading all that information and trying to figure out, you know, do I do an info product? Do I build my website? Do I, you know, cold call? Do I do all these things and never come to a conclusion? I know that I had that struggle myself. And I think one of the nice things about your program is that it synthesizes all that information. And again, it really provides this clear roadmap. So it takes a lot of the guesswork and a lot of the anxiety out of making those decisions.
Yeah, you're right. Because there are a lot of things that could work, but I think what many of us are looking for is a roadmap. Right?
Yep.
Can someone help me summarize and distill this into a step-by-step instruction?
Yep.
You know, I'm a student myself. I mean, I'm constantly investing in programs and mentorships and coaching, and that's what I'm looking for. In fact, I'm in one right now. I am just very, very busy, and I just want to learn things as I need them. I don't want to mm-hmm. be dumped on with a ton of information. And so I can appreciate that. Well, Robin, thank you so much for just sharing all this with us. I just truly appreciate your openness about your experience. And it was just so much fun working with you.
Oh, thanks so much, Ed. Same here. It's been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much.